Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Together. No ads to feel left out. Join in.
people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
Or free, and ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your masters also is in heaven. Neither is their respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having all done to stand, let the church say, amen. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for sound off forms. I'm about to sound off right now. I'm about to get it. Hey, listen, I'm about to turn it up on you tonight. Tonight, I am very vocal tonight. And the reason why I got so much zeal in my voice right now is because all day long, I've been going back and forth, like I said, with some of my childhood friends. And about, different things. Uh-huh. And I'm hoping they show up tonight, because I asked them to show up. I asked them to call in so they can voice their opinion. I'm on live now, Joe. Yes. 347-898-1014. Call now. Boom. Put them on blast. Hey, look. These fellas have been hitting me up all day, and I'm about to tell you why. I got to send these messages off real quick. And listen, hey, they have been trying to hit me upside the head, y'all. Oh, you know I love it. I love it when you try to go ahead and hit me upside the head. Woof, I can't wait to get it on. I am on live radio right now. Please call area code 347-989-1014. Oh, I'm putting it on them. I'm putting them on blast. You see, because these are the things that I talk about every day, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you why I'm so excited. This morning I went to this place, this Facebook thing, and it was happening in my feed, and it so happened to pop up. It says right wing rants and raves, and then they have a photo, and it is a photo. There is a young Marine who is sheltering President Obama from the rain, and then there's another picture with President Bush coming up of Air Force One helicopter or whatever, saying that he carried his own umbrella, right? Pretty much. So the caption, this is what it says. It says, people read my comments above about this. Oh, so that's what I put. I'm sorry. This says, the caption says, Bush would never make a Marine hold his umbrella. Obama is a puss, and I mean a wuss. Okay? So this is what happened. I seen the post, and I commented on the post, and this is what I replied, because there was some woman who decided, we've got a caller. You know what that means, y'all. Hold on. You know how we do it. We know how we do it. Hello, caller. How you doing? Can you say your name and where you're from?
My name is Joe.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to Sound Off.
How you doing tonight, George?
Good, doing good, man. I'm blessed. It's good to hear your voice. So I was just going over some prelims and telling everybody what the show is going to be about and basically what we've been talking about. So just give me a second. I'll get right back to you. So in this form that they posted, this woman was saying something. This person said something, and then they replied with this answer. And this one woman said, "Oh my God, there you go, blah blah blah. You bring up the race card." And then I go, can respond to it because it immediately upset me completely when she says, oh, throw up the race card, because, you know, apparently race is not an issue in America. But this is what I said in response. I said, blank, please bring out the race card. I'm so tired of people talking about racism like it doesn't exist. Black people was made to build this nation economically, socially, and politically. Black people have to fight, beg, be lynched, burnt, tarred and feathered, chained, murdered, the government experiments, psychological binded, drugged. The CIA used all means to eliminate black people in Telcon Pro, and you say some of these say something like that? Yes, bring up the race card. When was the last time black people drove around getting revenge on white folks for all that was done on them? Y'all should be saying thank you for not declaring war after the 60s in my generation. We are a people of love and forgiveness. We believe that Jesus is the judge of this nation. So the next time you think about how your race truly treats people and the great white privilege you have in this time and space, it is easy to judge another race based on lies and hatred, but if you walk 1 month in a black person's shoes, you would be horrified by the venom and the dehumanization of your soul. It's been almost 500 years, and blacks are still looking for jobs, justice, and equality. Now, I've got my good friend Joe here, my childhood friend Joe here on the line, and we've been going back and forth about a lot of things, okay? So I want him to put out his point of view so I don't – okay, listeners, I want you to open up your minds. I want you to erase all thoughts that you have pre-existing right now about the topic. Take it out your mind. I want you to listen to each word that this gentleman is speaking. If you have a question or you feel that you must call in and rebut him, please write it down. I want you to listen to his full conversation, his thoughts, his ideologies, before you even jump on the bandwagon. Secondly, I would like it and prefer that we keep it adult, keep it clean, and let's talk with words that make sense. So let's not use any profanity. Let's not use, you can bring up a racial slur or two, but let's not overdo it. I mean, because I'm open to everything, but whatever, not. So just let the gentleman talk. Let him get his information out and tell you how he feels from his point of view, because everybody's got opinions, y'all. Everybody's got opinions. Does not mean that everybody's opinions will be agreed upon, but it is important that people get their points of views across to everyone. Okay, Mr. Joe, please, it is your time. You can have as much time as you want. I would like for you to give your ideology based off of your perspective of what we talked about today. And you can start anywhere. It doesn't really matter where you start. Just start.
Okay. Well, first of all, George, I appreciate you having me on your show today. I enjoyed our conversation that we had earlier. I want to start off with one thing, and I guess it's fair for everybody to understand that I'm a white man from southern Louisiana. So now that we have that out of the way, I understand where you're coming from to an extent, and at the same time, I don't. And I'll start off by saying this, George. We've known each other for many years now, would you say?
Yeah.
Did I ever treat you in any way, shape, or form in a manner that made you feel like I thought I was superior to you for any reason?
Never. Never.
So
he was a good guy.
Oh. So with that being said, the biggest issue I take is when a comment is made that lumps white people as an oppressor. Now, I understand that there are some crazy, crazy fucking white people, white supremacists, which are nothing more than pieces of shit. I don't agree with any culture of hate, regardless of what nationality they come from. There's always going to be ignorance in every race, but I don't think I think that we've hit a point in our society where we can't keep blaming the white man for holding us down. Like I had mentioned earlier, you know, just so everybody could hear, you know, I have no problem saying this. I hit a point in my life where I was unemployed. I was on unemployment. I was trying to get food stamps. I was down. I was on the verge of being homeless. And, you know, I did what I had to do. It was a black man that gave me a chance when nobody else would. I worked hard. I proved myself, and I put myself back into a position where I was able to support my family again through hard work. Nobody gave me that. I didn't have some God-given right as a white man to have that opportunity. I had to work hard to get that opportunity. Certain regions where, yes, than a white person. I grew up in the South. I'm not blind. I'm not ignorant to reality. But I don't think that to continue to use, because I'm black, I don't have a chance, I don't think that's the right attitude to have anymore. You know, I live in a neighborhood where I'm a minority. I work in a place where I'm a minority. It doesn't matter anymore. It's the person. Racism, does it exist? Absolutely it exists. Does ignorance exist? 100%. But it's not just white people that are ignorant. It's not just white people that are racist. You know, I've worked hard my entire life to break that image of a white Southern man who's not racist. I'm married to a Hispanic woman. You know, it's not really the norm for a racist white person. I think that we've come to a point in us as a society where we should be able to say, it doesn't matter what color I am, I'm going to work hard to get what I want. I don't need a handout. Maybe a hand up would be nice when I fall on hard times, but nobody owes me anything more than what I owe myself to do as a man, as a human being, regardless of the color of my skin. Just my opinion.
Okay, all right. Is that it for right now?
I'm sorry?
Are you done for right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So, I agree with you 100% on everything you said. My point of view is this. My view lens is not from a place of me looking up, because in my personal situation, I'm not looking up. I'm pretty much looking down. So in my personal situation, I'm not saying that there should be a need to eradicate or falsify something that we all know is to be true. You said it yourself, racism still exists. Now, if you take corporate America right now, you take corporate America right now, and you take every bank that is owned in the United States, I would like to find out, is there a black that owns a bank? The reality is black people can be as successful as they want to a limit. We talk about President Obama. I'll get to him to a second. You see, black people don't determine public policy. And even if they're elected to office, their hands are still tied because the only thing they can do is say yay or nay to a vote. That's the only thing they can do. They cannot change policy. And each one of these representatives, and we live in a representative democracy state, represent what we tell them to do. But what happens is they get there. Let's use a black senator, for example, okay? The black senator gets there, and he gets into a seat, and he has to work with his constituents to get what the district needs in his district. Number one, I'm sure the district needs jobs. I know that's for a fact. But what are they doing to create jobs? I got a question. You said you were unemployed. Have you ever been to an unemployment building where these guys stand outside and get jobs at the beginning of the day and they get paid at the end of the day?
Yes.
Okay. Now that is a small sense of helping the economy grow because they're still feeding their families. But let's say they take on a job like a construction job. And didn't you say you were in the military?
I was not, no.
No, okay. All right. Well, I guess you probably still understand contracting. When these people get contracts, all right, who are the people who get majority of the construction contracts? We're talking about it, let's say in your neighborhood. And you said that you're the minority in your neighborhood?
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're going to put down a sewage pipeline. When they go to these contractors, who owns the construction companies?
I don't know.
I'm talking about race-wise.
Oh, well, I know what you're trying to get me to say, but I would be making an assumption, but to humor the conversation, I'll say a white man.
Okay. And so who would be his employees?
Whoever's applying for the job.
Okay, let's say they're in your neighborhood. Who would be applying for the jobs?
Well, in my neighborhood, it would be predominantly African American or Hispanic.
Okay. In your neighborhood, blacks and Hispanics are the minority, and you are the majority, and you are the minority.
Correct.
But because you humored me, you have to understand the hierarchy of the structure. You see, the contract money is going to go to the contractor, and the contractor is going to be white. And if the contractor decides that he's going to pay them less than minimum wage, he can do that. So what I'm saying is this. These people are getting a hand up because they're getting work. But in the reality of things, the white person is in control of the whole system. So what I'm trying to get at is if you take that and you put that across the board going up the economic ladder, I'm not going to say classism because I hate that word, but the economic ladder, you can have a black person that's in charge of the company, right? He could be a general manager, but he's not going to be the CEO of the company.
Why not?
Well, because.
Why? This is my question to this argument. There's nothing keeping the black man, other than himself, from being the owner of the company. The white man didn't become the owner of the company because some magical entity said, here you go, white man, you're white, so we're going to give you a company. chances are that white man started out digging a ditch. That white man worked hard. That white man built up himself from nothing and created the opportunity for himself. I mean, I don't know. I'm speaking from personal experience here. Nobody's ever given me anything because I was less qualified but white. It's just never happened to me. I don't understand that debate that a hardworking black man has less of an opportunity than a hardworking white man.
Okay. The point for moving from being that CEO and getting to that next level will be the difference between if he can get a loan or not. So if you put on your application and I have a caller, but I'm going to hold on because I know who it is. Have you ever heard of redlining?
No, I'm not familiar with that term.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Martin Luther King Boulevard or street or whatever?
Of course.
Okay. And in every city in America, if you go down Martin Luther King Boulevard or street, where are you located?
A bad part of town.
There you go. That's redlining. So if you live around Martin Luther King Boulevard, you're going to either live on a president street, you're going to live on an alphabet, you're going to live in a number, or you're going to live in states. So if you go and apply for a loan and you say, my name is, you go, I'm going in there suit and tie, nice haircut, looking good, smelling good, and I put down, I live on Martin Luther King Boulevard, they already know that I live by the hood. So if I go in there and I put another address that is questionable, then what they'll do is they'll look at that application and then they'll ask you for references, correct?
You know what? I'm going to say no to that because I have to give references every time I apply for a job. I have to take a drug test.
No, I'm not talking about the job. I'm talking about the loan.
I have to give references for a loan.
Right,
in
you
fact,
do.
And I mean, everybody does. I mean,
yeah, everybody does.
Right. So I don't want to. I can't answer your question with an answer because it's every loan application requires references. White, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Everybody requires a reference.
Yeah, but that's not my point. My point is that because this individual put where he lives, he automatically knows that this person lives in a lower income neighborhood. When he fills out the application, he puts all that stuff down there, and they talk about references and all that stuff. If he is not able, because he's not going to be asking for a willy-nilly loan. We're talking about this man trying to start a corporation. This man's trying to start a real business. And he's going to have people underneath him. So we're asking at least 100 G's, maybe 200 G's to get whatever he needs to get himself off the ground. Hold on for a second. Let me just get this person on the line. Thank you for holding, Apache. Hold on one quick, okay?
All right, George.
All right. So my point is this. It's the discrimination because I'm telling you, as a black man living in this society, and I know you can't really grasp that, but when you walk into a bank, they look at me differently than they would look at you differently. And you may not believe that, but they do. You haven't seen me in a while. I got an afro, and it's crazy all over the place. I don't dress up. I don't dress up for nobody no more. I've already had my military suits and all that stuff. I don't dress up for nobody. I wear some sweatpants and a T-shirt I get from Walmart. But when I walk in the bank, they naturally assume I'm a thug because I look the way that I do.
Okay.
Would you agree to that?
You know what? Yeah, I'll agree with that. But with the point being, I've got short hair and tattoos. If I walk into a bank trying to conduct a loan for a business, I know that I need to cover up my tattoos. I know that I need to fix my hair a certain way.
So you're saying that you have to play a game in order to get what you want, right?
Hell yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, though. I should be, as an American citizen, I should be able to walk in the bank, look however I want, and ask for a loan. You know why? Because I am an American. I pay my taxes. When on the basis of you having tattoos and short hair and all that stuff, got to do with you getting money? It has nothing to do with that, right?
But
me being a black man with an afro, and I don't have any tattoos. Well, I got one tattoo. I got my tattoo of my wife on my arm. But I walk in there with sweatpants and a t-shirt, and I walk in there. I mean, you know, and I go get a loan. The vibe is totally different. Let me tell you this, Joe. You have to remember something though.
You are asking somebody to give you a loan of money that's not yours, that's not theirs, and they have to represent people. It's a matter of professionalism at that point where I'm going to walk into a bank and dress the part because I want the person to take it seriously. I want to go in and I want to see them so that they understand, so they know that I'm prepared to be responsible with that money.
What happens to these white collar crimes when all these people be sending people money, they be in suits and be forging all kinds of stuff to the government, and they never get questioned about what they're doing because they're wearing suits. And majority of them are white, none of them black. So answer that question for me.
Well, like I said, I've never stood side by side with a black man and been treated better because I was white.
Hold on, I'm about to give you the mic in a second. Let me finish this comment.
You know,
go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I'll give you this. I mean, you know me, and maybe it's because of my outlook that I don't see certain things. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that prejudices don't exist. I'm well aware they exist. I've dealt with many prejudices, you know, and had to stick up for somebody because somebody else was treating them in an ignorant manner. I won't sit here and say it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that as a black man, you can also do things to understand the fact that there's good fucking people out there, right? I mean, there's nothing we can do about those people. You know, I had a black woman call me a racist. She was stealing from the restaurant that I was in charge of, but it was my fault she was stealing because I was what she told me. Now, to me, that makes no sense. Being white has anything to do with her.
Joe, you're breaking up. Are you on a cell phone?
I am on a cell phone. Unfortunately, in the neighborhood I'm at, I'm kind of like downtown Las Vegas. I don't have good reception where I am.
Okay, well, I'm coming to Vegas this summer. I'm going to look you up, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, hold on. I don't want you to leave, Joe. Apache.
Take it easy, Joe. What's up, George?
Apache, listen. Okay, so the conversation is this.
I don't even know.
All right, go ahead. Tell me your comments, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, the last thing y'all touched on was the way you dress in a bank, man. Are you serious? I mean, you can go in any bank and dress the way you want. It's all about when you run your name and your credit scores and all that in the bank, man. You can go in there dressed in a tutu if you want. That don't mean nothing. That absolutely means nothing. I don't give a damn what color you is, how dirty you is, how you look. When you get them people your ID and they run your name and they see you got millions in the bank, you can dress how you want. So them times have changed. Now, don't get me wrong. The people in the bank might look at you funny, George. Them people don't mean nothing no more, George. You're talking about the most ignorant people in the world, son. That's what we're talking about tonight, the most ignorant people in the world?
No, we're not talking about ignorance. We're not talking about... See, I don't worry about those petty racist people. I'm talking about people who make policies that stronghold minorities and not being able to advance. Joe said that in today's society, all people are able to be successful if they grab themselves up by the bootstraps and keep their head right and continue to not feel sorry for themselves, then they can be whatever they want to be.
This is true, John. Don't get it twisted. It's true, but it's still different because it just might be a little bit harder if you try to run. We're gonna try to keep it simple here. If you're trying to buy a home and your family already in the real estate business, they already own homes and things like that, then yeah, some families might make you work for it. You have to work just as hard as they did for it, but you're still gonna get it. Where some people, their families never had nothing. They was just a couple of years ago, John, they was eating in the back door, man. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not gonna just change overnight. But we do still have the same opportunities. We have to work as hard, just as hard as anybody else, and you can get your family out of that rut, man. It starts at the head, man. You know what I'm saying? And if you know the game, and you should know the game by now, man, you know if you go in a bank or anywhere, you got to clean yourself up, George. It's not my fault. I just left Walmart, paid $20 for 5 razors so I can stay fresh when I go in a bank or when I go deal with anybody, because first impressions are everything. But the bank situation is a whole different thing, but there are situations where these people who are going to judge you by the color of your skin and the way you conduct yourself are standing in the way between you and some major business or a real good time. You could really be having a good time right now if you met this person and your hair was cut and they really took a liking to you, but they looking at you like, man, this dude don't even cut his hair, and boy, we're not taking him to Vegas to have a party with us. So, yes, if you are in America, George, you got to cut your hair, man. I'm watching people get judged because their hair long every day. But that's a choice they make because they feel they have their freedom. It's called expression. You can express yourself as much as you like. But when you know if you're playing football, you got to put on football pads, man. Bottom line. So, you know, when we out here playing with the game of real estate and you want to go in a bank and you want to be in business, hey, man, you got to put on a suit and tie sometimes. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is.
Okay. So... That's good. Okay, I want to keep it right there. Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so this is my point. I've said this many times on my show. When Africans were released from slavery, when the Civil War was over, the Reconstruction period happened, blacks were able to go into their neighborhoods, uprich their neighborhoods, have banks, have grocery stores, have gas stations, and all this stuff. We get to the 60s, and all of a sudden, we want to immigrate into the white society. Okay, let me ask you a question. Where did the white people at that time learn about their culture?
Where does the white people do what about their culture? I'm sorry.
Where did the white people at that period of time learn their culture from?
From their parents.
From their parents. And who were their parents?
Other white people.
Other white people are immigrants, right? Other people who are immigrants, right?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Here,
So when the slaves were let free, they were allowed to be who they want to be. We went through the Reconstruction period. We went through the 60s. We went and we had the Civil Rights. It wasn't until the Civil Rights Act of 64 or 63 that blacks were considered to be human.
Oh,
black people did not know who or where or what tribe they were from because the slave owners would not let them know who they were. They took the slaves and they have twisted all these people around, and we don't know where, what our heritage or not. Okay. So okay, that's my point. That's my point. Hold on. So now the only thing that blacks can say, true to myself, is that I am an American. I am a African American. I'm not African. There's African descent, but I'm American. So there's no trace to my roots. I don't know my tongue. I don't know my language.
And make sure you're not from Cuba, George.
Hey, it don't matter if you're from Cuba or not. Cubans are black, too.
That's not true.
That is true. But, hold on. So, Joe, my question is this. How can blacks today know their heritage based off of the books that we learn in school when we only get 1 month to talk about African American History Month and we only talk about Martin Luther King? Okay, answer that question.
You know, there is no answer to that question. Because
I got to answer that question.
Hold on, Apache. Let Joe answer.
I'll put it to you this way. I mean, as far as that goes, George, why does there why you know Black History Month is something I'm actually not really qualified to really say a whole lot about. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no White History Month. There's American history. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, I would think as a proud black man that you would be celebrating your history all the time, not just on
night. Thank you, Joe. There's no problem with that, Joe. Joe, you're a smart fella, Joe.
Apache, let him finish what he's saying.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why we have to try to quantify the injustices of something that happened, you know, 150 years ago. George, I don't know about you, but I'm 34 years old. I never beat a slave. I never, you know, tied a slave up. I never bound a black man. And I'm pretty sure you were never beaten and tied and bounded either, at least to the best of my knowledge. So, I mean, with that being said, how are either one of us qualified to talk about something that happened 6 generations ago? At some point, you've got to let go of that hate, because it's that hate that's bringing people down. It's not the fact that it happened 150 years ago. It's the fact that people can't let go of it. You've got to let go of that. You've got to use that energy to help the young people, the young black guys that are growing up that are all twisted right now. You know, show them the positive. Tell them all the benefits. You know, show them that you can do it by doing it. You know,
go ahead.
No, that was my bad, Joe. I didn't mean to interrupt you, man.
Oh, that's all right, man. Go ahead.
No, you was doing good, man.
Hey, Joe, you know Apache. He grew up with us. Well,
who's that?
We went to middle school together. We all went to middle school together.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, cool. What's up, Joe?
Look, man. At the end of the day, when I came out here, man, when that black lady told me that it was my fault she stole because I'm white, I looked at her as an ignorant racist, not as a black man or a black woman, not as a racial slur, but as an ignorant racist. Because you know what? There's a lot of black people that are just as racist, if not more racist, than what a lot of white people are accused of being. The hate exists on both sides of the aisle. So the question is, it's not the white man holding anybody down. It's the fucking hate all the way around that's holding everybody down. Think of how great as a society we would be if black people didn't blame the white man and the white man didn't blame, you know, anybody else, and we just all figured out a way to get through the day together. To be a neighbor.
I got the answer.
To be a friend.
I got the answer right here for you, Joe. You ready?
Go ahead, Joe.
Yep.
Hold on, George. I'm talking with me and Joe talking right now, man. And I'm telling Joe, he can heal himself right now from all racism and all this stuff. He can heal himself because we can't heal everybody. All you can do is look in the mirror and heal yourself, man. And let me tell you how you can do this, man. For one, you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you see a white guy, you're a racist. If you look in the mirror and you see George in the mirror and you see a black man, you're a racist, man. There's no such thing, man. Everybody has a heritage. If you don't know yours, then you're just ignorant to it. But at least you know one thing. You were born in Moss Regional Hospital. You are an American. You were born on American soil. When you look in the mirror, you should see an American. Now, the people who don't accept you as an American and have to address you as a black person or a white person, you are dealing with ignorance, man. And it's been sold to all of us. I'm not buying the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm just between me, you, and George. I'm not buying the shit. You feel me? You might look at yourself as a white person, and some people might look at yourself as black. When you, from the time you accept that, you hit. You hit, man. You are hit.
Yeah.
If George, if you think you black right now, you hit. You always going to be upset, partner. You're going to always be upset. You're going to always feel like you're coming up short because you black or because this guy thinks he's white. That shit is dead, man. I mean, but it only can lie with you. I don't believe in black and white. That's the most ignorant shit that have ever hit this soil. And it worked for some people. For some people, it worked. And for the other ones, it didn't work so well. So if you want to cure yourself from that, look in the mirror and see an American, man. And when you can get with fellow Americans, you have a better place. And you have to respect all cultures. And you find when you get to know somebody's culture, and you can be a racist if you look at it like you say, well, I only deal with Americans. I don't deal with Middle Easterners. I don't deal with Russians. Or, you know what I'm saying? But when you got down to this white and black, man, you lost. You lost. If you think you black, you lost, man. And if you think you white, you just as lost. Because most people with a pale tone of skin are either Irish, European, something. You something, man. Find out your heritage. There's power in that shit. You find out that you got your Portuguese descent, or if you have Dutch Indian, or if you could be West Indian. There's a lot of shit. You could be Cuban. You know what I mean? And there's no such thing as a black Cuban. It might be a dark-skinned Cuban. He's still a Cuban, man. He's a Cuban. If he's bright, and he got gold in his mouth, he could be a dark one with gold in his mouth. But when you get on that black and white, you hit, man. And I believe me, I live down in the bottom of Louisiana, and I'm still down here. And you got to get down with that shit sooner or later, man. You know, I've had to address people as black and white, or they don't understand what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm dealing with some of the most ignorant people in the world, and I hate it. Somebody come down here and rescue me and get me out of here. Please.
Hey, Apache. Hey, Apache. Apache. Joe used to live off of Louisiana Avenue by F.K. White, so he know what – he used to live by Johnson Hall, so he know what you're talking about.
So that's – of course, he think he white. You know what I'm saying? He has yet to find out his actual heritage, man. Because when somebody calls you black or white, you can tell them easy, hey, man, I'm Portuguese. You know what I mean? Respect.
Listen, okay.
They have to respect.
Hey, okay. Wait. Okay. So now that we've got a digestion of the lower level hatred for ourselves, Apache, you and Joe are on the same page. Y'all say we can just pull ourselves by the bootstraps. All those, everything else that keeps us looking down, we don't need to look down. We need to look up, right?
That's right.
All right. So now we're moving
to
the meat. We're going to move to the meats and potatoes, okay? The meats and potatoes is this. We are talking about now about people. This is what I'm talking about, white folks, the high level. All that other stuff, I got that. I know that. I'm feeling that. I agree with y'all both on that. I love the human race. I'm an American, all right? So all that stuff I'm agreeing with. Now, look at the point of this. We've got President Obama, right? President Obama is half black and half white. The first time President Obama ran, he said that he would not use his race as a platform to run on. Okay. Secondly.
Hey, George. I don't want to cut you short. I've got to go. My wife just texted me. She's at the hospital with my boy. So
okay,
I
okay,
hate
no,
to cut
no,
you
no,
short, but I definitely
hey,
am great. Thanks. Hey, I want to. I would love to follow this up on another show, though.
No,
is that
no
cool?
Problem.
We'll get back together, man.
Hey, Joe, you can call back anytime.
absolutely. Save it. Give me a call sometime, man.
Okay, I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm going to be in Vegas in July. So I'll look you up, all right?
Look me up, man. We'll go have some drinks.
All right, cool.
All right, later.
All right, be safe. I'll pray for you. All right, so Apache.
What's up?
My brother. Now, let's talk about President Obama. Let's talk about the people in his cabinet. Let's talk about the people who are behind the scenes. Let's talk about policies that have been laid out that have restricted minorities from being where they are. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you were going to, when we were going to school, have you ever taken an AP class?
What is that?
It's an advanced placement class, like Spark and all that stuff.
Oh, I didn't do that since I was in elementary.
I didn't do that stuff either, you know?
No, in elementary I was Spark, George. I did Spark in elementary. When I was
you were a smart little kid, huh?
Yeah, man, you don't remember me, George, in elementary, man. I was smart, man. Me and you, man, we was in elementary together, George. But what I'm trying to explain to you, George.
But what I'm saying is this.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. Let me finish this, and then I'll ask you a question. When it comes to tracking minorities and how intelligent or how well they're doing in schools, they give us testing, correct?
Testing, right.
And they say to us, they say, if you don't pass this test, you're not going to graduate.
You're not going to leave.
Yeah, you're not going to leave. Okay. But what happens to those students who are taking Spark classes and AP classes?
I guess they're more prepared to leave.
They're more prepared to leave. And you know what they do to those students?
What do they do to them?
They track them from a low level. And when they get to high school and they go to graduate, guess who's looking at them?
College?
Yes. Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Dartmouth, all those colleges, right?
Take money.
Well, if you are in an AP class for math, guess what school you're going to go to? I mean, excuse me, guess what type of career field they're going to suggest that you go to?
But, George, they earned it, George. Still,
No. I'm not taking nothing that they earned. They did it themselves. I'm not speaking on that part. What I'm saying is,
the tracking point. You stay on the other side of the tracking point.
I'm saying this. The people who track these kids are not black people. The people who track the smart kids are not Latino people. The people who track these kids are not Native Americans. These people are, I want you to tell me what color is the president of Harvard?
I don't know what color he is. I don't give a damn what color he is. George, if he's an American, he might not even be an American. He might be a foreigner, bro.
He might be, but the point being is this. We are, the way that these children get out of the ghetto or get out in a low-income situation or even a middle-class situation or even a private charter school situation,
George,
is they are tracked by this advancement. And so what they do is they nitpick who they want. And they put them in situations like President Obama. Have you tracked President Obama?
Have I tracked him?
Have you did research on President Obama?
No, man, I use a lot of common sense, George. I don't be into all that shit like that, man. I use a lot of my common sense.
Okay,
yeah,
so this is what I want to tell you.
It comes down to simple terms.
What's that?
It still comes down to simple terms, man. Even when it goes up to the hierarchy of the president, it's still simple decisions, man. You say what you say, and I'm just telling you, man, we're dealing with a lot of ignorance, man. You're dealing with this ignorance, man. President Obama, I'm sure, is not dealing with this shit. He has to deal with it. He has to address it at times, I'm sure. But I imagine he ain't tripping on that shit. But what I'm trying to say is, George, no matter what color the dude is, he's still have to be smart, man. And some of us going to be poor all our life. Some of us going to be rich. Some of us going to be smart. Some of us going to be dumb, George. It don't matter about that color. People that's tripping on that color shit, that's the most ignorant shit in the world, man. You can't find nothing more ignorant than that in this world. And I'm talking about in the jungles of Brazil. You are not going to find nothing more ignorant than that, because this was a multicultural country that people came from all over. They have to deal with each other. These people put themselves, because they use something. I'm not going to assume what it was they used, but some kind of way they sold us all. You too. They have sold that they are white and you are black. Once you accept that, you lost, George. Because you can look up the definition in the book, man. Look up the definition of the shit in the book, white and black, and see how it sounds when you look it up.
Yeah, I know it sounds silly.
Right.
But listen to this point, though. You see, I have to come to people on a physical plane, because when I start talking about the spiritual plane, people don't get that stuff. And if you can't get the physical plane, when I start talking about the psychological and the spiritual plane, then you don't get it. I know it's not about racism. I know that. But I have to talk about race, because race is one of the key issues that is used by the devil to manipulate situations in order for us to fight amongst ourselves. See, when I go to a higher plane, people can't understand that. It is not. Listen, every night I read Ephesians 6, and it says in 13:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and. So when we start talking about these dark fallen angels, okay, when we start talking about that kind of stuff, these men, these women, I'm not going to say all of them, but let me tell you what, you know it for a fact, because the people that you deal with, or maybe the music that you listen to, deal in the lyrics. But when I start talking about they worship the devil, people start talking about, what are you talking about? So I go to the physical, so they can get the understanding. When you go from the lower level man to the middle man to the man who really runs things, see, the man who really runs things is the devil. Period. We can talk about Obama.
On land, you're right. On land, yeah, the devil's doing. He's running this. He's running all over this mother. You're right. Running rampant. You ever heard of him running rampant?
Running rampant. So what? This is what I'm saying. So when I talk about the physical, I start talking about race. I start talking about the economy. I start talking about politics. I start talking about the social economic structure in America and around the world. People don't understand that. Because what it all boils down to, Hachi, is this. You see, the Bible must be fulfilled. And in order for the Bible to be fulfilled, the devil got to do his work. Who's doing his work? Can you see the devil?
Hell yeah, I've seen the devil.
Well, hey, there you go. If you've seen the devil, then hell.
I seen the devil. I slapped the piss out of the devil one time. I seen him. Because he get his people, man. The devil can infiltrate you, man, get in you and make you do some of the stupidest shit you ever done in your life, George. And I don't
believe
get in the people. Huh?
Oh, yeah, I believe that. I know that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I done seen him. I done seen him. I caught his ass. He got real close to me. I didn't know, man, it was and you know, marriage is a how you say that, George? How you say what it is about marriage, and that it's a godly bond, like it's a bond that God, you know, that's what he wants you to do, right? How you say that, man?
Oneness.
Right. And when you got the devil, when you could see the devil try to infiltrate that man, and I seen the way this person looked at me, they gave me a look, and I thought it was a man coming out to find out after I slapped him. It's a woman. So now I can't sleep. You understand what I'm saying? Because
oh,
I feel like, listen. Huh?
Yeah, I said, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, blessed art thou amongst women. So, yeah, when you want to get on that spiritual level, man, You know, it's not nothing to wear on your sleeve or nothing. It's for something for you to deal with and really take a serious look at. You know what I'm saying? And get yourself together, make you a better person. Because
oh, yeah.
You have some of the most.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, Apache. I'm just trying to get my listeners caught up. See, that's why I said y'all got to listen to all my past stuff because I go deep. I don't be playing on this milly level because I take it to a higher plane. See, now, let me tell you about this, Apache. This is the three things called the Great Deception. The devil wants to, first of all, make sure that the devil and his dominions tell the people that they're not really that they really exist. Secondly, is to have mind control over all the people in the world. The third thing is to destroy the Bible without having to burn it. Now, let me tell you, the first two is already being done. Because what did you say to me? You said that if I'm talking about color and I'm talking about white and black, I'm already messed up, right? Messed up in the brain. So that means that the spiritual warfare in the society has already, it's already been spilt open. And so we're trying to swim and trying to catch our breath, and it's not even that. We don't even need to catch our breath if we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing is this. Let me tell you how slick he is, right? He said, and I got information if you need it, but it is said that if you believe in evolution, you are given a special reward in hell for teaching evolution because it will dislodge your thoughts and how Jesus really exists. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on. But I tell you this, if you don't believe in something, you better get something right. Because if you believe there's a devil and don't believe there's a Jesus Christ, get out of my, hey, that you on your own. You cannot be judged by me or nobody. That is you and God. Period. So.
Well, hey, George, I got some friends though, man. They believe in Jesus Christ as a person, but all they really get off on is God. And you know, and as long as you're right with God, man, you got to go through Jesus. I understand the Trinity and all of that, George.
No. See, but
that is religion.
Hold on, I'm trying to cut you off. But you have to realize that God is not a name. God is a title. God is Jesus. And a lot of people may debate me. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible have you ever seen the Trinity. There's nothing called the Trinity in the Bible. They ain't got nothing. Listen, that is some made up.
The Bible is a religion, George. There's a higher being, man. It's above you, man. You will never understand in a million years. About the high being, man, it's, all you can understand is them three letters, God. That's where it stopped, man. Other than that, all you can be is blessed and graced by what he has done before you, man. Because ain't shit, none of the shit you could have done. You cannot build, you cannot make a tree grow, or you cannot make the wind blow, or you cannot make Mother Nature do what she got to do. You understand me? You can't do that. You just a man. There is a God, and he has let things evolve. Now, if people want to take the credit for it, like they made two rocks blow together in the wind and in the space. Let them have it, George. Let people believe what they want to believe, man. Because you never stop that, man. There's all kind of religions. Evolution is a religion. They done made a religion out of that. Oh well.
And I understand that. And so what another thing is that's part of the deception as well. You've got to understand. Listen, today in Revelations they says that God will. When in Revelations when they talk about the church of I don't want to get it wrong. Anyway, so in Revelations there's one part when they were talking when God was talking to the angel and he specifically told that angel that he needed to get that city, that church right because there's Jews who claim to be Jews but really not are Jews. And so a lot of people get all this stuff twisted. So in the Bible, when they're referring to the churches, he is referring for the churches, but he specifically talks to the angel who's in charge of the church. Okay, so we're talking about we're not talking on a physical plane. We're talking about a spiritual plane. So all those angels up there who are weak and cowering to the devil and about to slip into the devil's hands, God tells them, get yourself right or you will be cast in the fiery pit and the fiery furnace right along with Satan. And so what we need to do is we need to call out the people who are messing with us, i.e. the government, who are trying to take our freedoms. Because, see, all I'm trying to do, Apache, is to get people prepared for the end of times. All right, that's all this is what this show is about. You can call in and talk about anything you want, but when I come on and I'm speaking from my brain and my heart, I'm speaking to the direct demon himself. I'm not trying to play around with the dominions, because the dominions know there's a Jesus. The dominions know the word of Jesus. And if you don't have no power, you're going to get sucked up. You're going to be sacked up. So that's why we have to pray six times or more a day. That's why we've got to go and say, hey, listen, it's not about bringing people to church. I know you would agree with me by when I say this statement. Do you believe there's more sick people in the church than there are in the streets?
Oh, no, they got way more people out in the streets these days, man.
What about the church? Is the church sick?
Church got sicknesses. Church got illnesses, man. People have illnesses, man. People just go to churches, bro.
I'm talking about they got gossip and they got everything that's in the street is in the church now.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I mean, ain't no need to bring the church down, man. The church does its best, man. We're dealing with people, George. Don't forget that, man. You're dealing with people, and man, you're dealing with some of the most ignorant people in the world.
But that's the Southern America, son. The point is this. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are human. Yes, I totally agree with that. But you cannot have judgment on the outside world when your church and your congregation is sick and they need help. But you don't give them proper guidance. You don't listen. When Martin Luther King, let me tell you the thing about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King.
Hold on, George. I don't mean to cut you off, man. I don't mean to cut you. And I know this is your show, George. I don't want to cut you off. But here it is. We're talking on spiritual level, and you kind of reversed on what the Martin Luther King, because, man, we talking about if Jesus coming back. Do you believe Jesus coming back?
Yeah, I'm getting to that point. I didn't switch it. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to
get you back.
No. I have to show you. Let me show you this. Let me show you this. See, Martin Luther King did this. He didn't do anything of violence. He took the spirits of God. He took the fruits of the spirit. He took forbearing. He took kindness. He took peace. He took love. He took joy. He put that in his congregation. They were all in arms, singing left and right, and they were in the spirit of God. They walked through, and the people did not know how to act. Why? Because they were not showing aggression. And so how can the devil betwixt the people's mind to do something against God? Well, they get upset because they're not getting angry. They're not getting upset because they're being called the nigger word. They're not being stirred. They're not being stirred because 3 days before, their church got bombed. And they still come with love. Still come with love, joy, stirring, passion. And so what I'm saying is, if we take the church and we use the fruits of the spirit of love, forbearance, self-control, we use the spirits of the fruit that God has given us in our innate bodies, in our spirit, then Satan cannot move. So the church needs to put back their slacks, roll up their sleeves, get out in the streets and say,
what the devil wants, because the devil don't get what he wants. But if the people use the power of God, if the people use the Holy Spirit to uplift the hurt and the disease, see, Jesus never hung out in the church. Jesus didn't say, you know what, y'all, we're going to go to church on Sunday, and we're gonna pray, and we're going to ask for offering, and I'm going to lay hands, and everything. Jesus wasn't doing that. Jesus was out. He traveled from the tip of Israel to Ethiopia to Egypt all the way up to Damascus and back again. So Jesus was giving himself to the world, knowing that he would die on the cross. He was picking up people on the way, people following for no reason. So if the church is in, if the pastor's in the church only on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays,
then you ain't listening.
There's got to be more, Apache. It's got to be more than a dollar. It's got to be more. Let me tell you, I am not saying that the preacher is not tired because he works a full-time job. But if he is getting paid by the church, listen to me closely. If the pastor is getting paid by the church, then he needs to be in the streets talking to people himself, moving, because it is ungodly to take money from the congregation because he's the pastor. Huh?
Don't steal from the sheep.
Hey, listen, I believe in Jesus. And if we start talking about what God is and what he has done for us, then we need to be in the streets. See, I was in the streets for the last 3 weeks, trying to get people to understand, but these people are lost. Listen, this is what I'm talking about, racism. Let me tell you about this poor city that I live in. You've got a city that is dilapidated, okay? There's a freeway that runs north to south, and it cuts off through the ghetto. And guess what the street is named? Martin Luther King Boulevard. And that, on the east side, is where the black people live, okay? The houses. Patrick, you ever seen a beat-up church? You ever seen the roof falling off a church?
Man, I'm from the railroad, man.
Huh?
Yeah, man.
The church should not look like that. You know why it's looking like that? It's because they are not doing what they're supposed to be. You see, for some reason, they have not been healed from whatever they need to be healed from, because God will provide. I mean, it is not what your church look on the outside. I understand that. And it's not what your church look on the inside. But if you up there preaching about, we need to get this offering so we can have a building fund. Listen, I remember when I used to go to church in Lake Charles, my pastor would ask for money for a building fund ever since I turned 18. And I go to the church right now. And
hey, man. Don't count the first stone, throw it a sin, man.
Listen, my money that I give to the church is accountable. So I'm not judging them. I'm simply saying, if you're going to collect money from the church, then do what you need to do for the church. If it's to pay electricity, pay electricity. If it's to pay the water, pay the water. But don't say
hey,
you're going to put
quick.
Up a new building, and then 15 years later I go back and there's no building.
No, man, real estate, something came up, man.
Hey, well, some did come up, but I tell you, when Jesus opened that book,
that person
gonna have to account for that money.
Ooh, imagine that, George. You, man, that's gonna be a hell of a show, huh, George? You think?
Oh man, I wish I could air it.
Hey, you think we're gonna be able to be there, George? Like when Jesus come back, like you think we're gonna be able to be there to see some of the stuff that these rotten people getting away with so much? And building big old tall buildings that you never could imagine in your whole life. The devil showed them how to do it and made it possible for them, and they took the big be there, George?
Well, Becky, I don't know. I can only say I pray to Jesus.
I mean, you think it's going to be? You think it's going
to be? I pray to Jesus that I'm called up in the rapture before this stuff happens.
Because if
I'm still here while the demons are loose, I pray that I don't get stung so many times that I can't see my own face. So I don't know, man. I pray that, listen, the one thing that we have to do as human beings is not be afraid to die, period. Because, when death comes, death is supposed to be a period of rejoice. And when it comes to you fearing death, if you fear death, then you don't love Jesus. Because to die is to enter the gates of heaven for eternity. So it's kind of weird because I believe in purgatory, which is kind of weird. But
I kind of believe in that shit too, George. I kind of believe in that, man.
Yeah, because because it don't make sense for everybody to go to heaven and then everybody sitting at the gate and then be like,
hey,
oh, well, you're not supposed to be here. Go back down.
Hey, George, if you believe in the supernatural, if you believe there's a devil, if you believe there's a God, and you believe that there's a God and you believe there's a supernatural, then that means you believe that you have a soul. And then you know when your soul leaves your body, it don't just, you know what I'm saying, until that time comes, when God sent for his people and Jesus comes back and do what he got to do, you know, that's the way you vision this thing, man. But who really knows what's exactly going on? That's why they call it belief, George. We believe
right.
in things. And George, you're just a man, son. You don't know nothing. Man, you don't know nothing. When you think you know something, you don't know shit. And then that's when you believe in something, because you don't know nothing. So you believe with all your might, man. And people let you down. But do believe there's a supernatural out there, and you better have it together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be a lot. In fact, people going through hell as we speak, man. If you ever seen a crackhead, you looked in his eyes real good when he was hit, you seen a turn of fire, man, and people be burning right then and there. And the devil is right there looking at you, trying to figure out a way to kill you because you're so prosperous. They hate you, son. You're so prosperous. You're doing so well with your life. The devil going to break that up. He's going to crank it up, break it up. He's going to do whatever he got to do. That's why when you see him, and I tell my friends all the time, and George, you're a good friend of mine, man. Me and you went to school way since first grade, man. Me and you in Bushnell, man. And I tell you, man, the devil get close to you, man. You slap him. He's really
slap him. Boy, you bring it back to days, boy. Stop it.
Man, you see the devil, man, cut his eyes. The devil, when he look at you, son, he going to cut his eyes real sharp. When you see that, you smack the piss out of him. That's the way I play it down here in the bottom line, man. I will slap the piss out of one of these little devils, man. And I say, man, they love me. I swear they be loving me every step of the joy. Man, I appreciate you, Patrick, man, because, man, when I was tripping out there, man, you slapped the piss out of me, man, and made me get right, you feel me? It kind of shook me up to where I got myself together after that, man. I done had people come thank me after this, man. I'm telling you, George, you can save a lot of people with that hand, that one good right hand. You can even put some bottle on it to make it kind of funny for them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's the truth, George. It's the truth. I know you ain't going to go around slapping people. I know you got a little more class than that. But, you know, I'm down here, man. They down here, man. That devil down here, partner. He down here, man. He down here. He like that swamp, man. You know what I'm saying? He be going up there to New York and shit, but he like to sit up there and make shit happen in big old buildings. But he loved this swamp, man. He down here, George. He down here. But he all over the world. That's why I want to ask you, George, if Jesus came back today, like in a few minutes, he on his way right now, and he coming back. What about all the seven continents, George, and all the different things they believe? You feel me? You know God's going to take some of the people with him. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, because, listen, there's a comet called Worm something, and it's supposed to destroy a third of the water. It's supposed to be destroy a third of the planet, and a lot of people going to suffer because there's going to be no water to drink. There's going to be no food to eat. Hey, Patrick, let me tell you what these people have already done. These people have took all the seeds in the world and put them in a freezer, in a big-ass freezer in Norway, just in case We lose all the crops in the world.
In case of famine breakout.
Yes. And they got it. Hey, look, I can see you a link to it. I was looking that stuff up yesterday. It's in Norway. They took all the seeds all over the world, put it in the freezer, and say, we're going to save that just in case something happens. These people are planning to get rid of us,
actually. Yeah, man, but your soul, son. They can't kill your soul, George.
They can't do it.
Hey, man, let them starve us, George. So what? So what, George? Our soul going to heaven, son. Your soul can go to heaven, man. You know what I'm saying? As long as you don't get caught up by this devil and let them suck you into that foolishness, you get hit up and turn into a rotten guy, man. People start turning so rotten, man. Man, it's hard. I really see it hard to be forgiven for some of the things people do nowadays, man. I know that they're going to perish, man. They're going to perish, man. And hell's going to be real busy, partner. Hell's going to be a real busy place, man. But I pray they don't catch me down there, man. I pray they don't catch me down there because I know that's going to be a busy place. You're working all the time. You're getting nothing. Just like what's really going on now with people. You go to work all the time. You don't have nothing. You don't get to enjoy nothing. You hit, you know what I'm saying, because you got sucked up in the devil's game. It's a reality, George. It is a reality. So I respect what your topic tonight on your show, man, because that is a reality right there. The supernatural, God, and the devil. You know, if you look at good, and it's simple as that, George. That's why it's a super being, a supernatural thing, and all I can understand is good and bad. Bad being evil, evil being devil. God being good, good being God. You understand what I mean, George? It's just a play on words, son. Everything else is supernatural, and you'll never understand it, George. All you can do is just do the best you can while you're here. You can't control what them other people are doing. Just love your neighbor, man. I think you'll make it far, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You'd have made it this far. Hey, but if I ain't told you nothing, George, between me and you, man, hey, I think you might be already there. You ain't tripping on that black and white shit, right?
No, I'm not. No. I have to talk to people on a physical plane so they can understand the framework where it comes from the bottom to the top. Because if I start talking to them about Jesus and then the spiritual plane to the earthly plane, they ain't going to catch that. And they're not going to catch it at all. But when I start talking about race and you say stuff like, if you talk about race, then you already lost, which is the truth. They keep us fighting. The devil keeps us fighting among ourselves about the Democrats, Republicans, blacks and whites, poor and rich. It don't. All that stuff don't even matter. Like you said,
hey,
we all got a soul, and we either going to heaven or hell. Which ride are you taking?
John, and that's what Apache say. And that's what Apache say. He got y'all fighting Republicans and Democrats. Apache don't trip on all that shit, man. Patrick don't even trip on that, bro. Patrick way past that, man. You got to try to love your neighbor, man. People come to you, man. The devil send all kind of people to you, and God send them too. You know what I'm saying? He send you blessings all the time, especially when you have done well and spoken his name good. You know God love to be, you know, he loves you to speak his name, man. So when any chance, like you speaking his name on this radio show, man, you got plenty of blessings coming, George. You will never be hungry, man. You will never be poor, George. You might not have $3 in your pocket right now. You just as wealthy and rich as you want to be, man. I ain't lying, man. I don't know where you at over there in Texas, man, but you in a good spot, man. You blessed, man.
Well, all I'm saying is when you make it up here, I'll take you out to dinner and you come hang out.
Come on.
If you ever make up, I live 2 hours north of Dallas, so if you ever make it up here, you want to take a trip or whatever, you're always welcome.
Yeah, well, I'll take you on up there on sooner or later, you know what I mean?
I'm planning on making a trip to Louisiana pretty soon.
Well, man, I'm
right
here on the corner, man. When you get down here, you know, I'm right on the corner. You can stop and see me anytime, man. I'm right
okay.
on the corner down from the garage. I'm right down from the garage on the corner, man. 210. Now, 210 south.
Yeah, my mom lives near McNeese, so.
Yeah, I live at the top of McNeese. They live at the, you know, when you down on that farm, man. George, I know some guys work on that farm, George.
Oh, you do?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. But I live at the top, man. I live right here before you get to LeGrand, you know what I'm saying? You know, once you're at LeGrand, you're at 210, you're out of here, man.
That's it.
So, George, you got out of here on us, huh, George?
Well, you know I'm a military guy, so I've been all around the places. And you know,
why don't you do a little tribute out to Lake Charles, man? Like do something and bring something back to the community for us, man. Cause you blessed, man. You ought to shoot us a little blessing down here, George. Why don't you go throw some money at one of them churches and let them do something crazy with it?
Well, I'm not rolling like that, but you know what? I mean, you do have a point. You know what? Maybe I should get together with some of my LeGrand's people and we have a carnival or something, have a fest or something.
George, no, not a fest, George. No, none of that. George, I'm telling you, man. The South Side is the hood now, man. They building a casino all the way from the top and all the way to the other side. And the South Side gonna be to the side a little bit. They ain't gonna be tripping on the South Side. You ain't even gotta cut the grass no more over there on that side, man. But hey, man, we ought to open a basketball gym, man. They got some little hoopers down here now, man.
Well, that's something I need to look into.
We ought to open a basketball gym, George, or a boxing gym, or both, really.
Yeah.
We got to find some people.
Okay,
You got the voice, huh? That's what you're going to do?
Let's talk about that off the air later on, man. We can definitely do something. Because I've been trying to do something in the remembrance of my fallen soldiers. So, you know, maybe I can get something going. Anyway, yeah. So I'll talk to you offline about that.
We're gonna do something for Lake Charles, man. We're gonna do something one time for them, man.
Yeah, I mean, cause it's all about us giving back.
Hey, you started here, man. You was born. Where you was born at, George Marsh Reason?
No, I was born in Memorial.
Damn.
Stop it. Shut up, man.
Hey, I was born in Moss Regional, man. I'm South Side. I moved around, but I'm back over here holding it down, man.
Hey, okay.
Holding it down for me. On the corner, on the money.
Man, for real, though, you know, we do have to give back, man. I don't know if you know, what's his name, David, shoot, you know what we should do is, you know, Frankie London?
Hell yeah.
We should get Frankie London to come back and do some stuff, too. Shoot.
Man, whatever you can bring, man, they got a bunch of guys, they got to trace them all down.
From what I did my research on, my boy up there, he's in Nebraska. He's one of those sport agents. So he should be coming down looking at the kids.
Yeah, once we get them pumping, yeah, you get them something good to look at. Hell yeah.
Oh man, so yeah, this the topic tonight has been really good. I simply say that. Wait. Before I say anything. I got like 26 minutes. Here we go. on one of my things that I posted, I guess he would be my cousin. I mean, he's my cousin. So, he said this to me. Let me find it. Oh my God, let me find it. Okay. All right. So this is what I said. This was one of the things that I posted. I said, I have to repeat. I'm so disappointed in the nation I live in. Wow. I want everyone to get a clear picture. America has never apologized for the transatlantic slave trade, nor were blacks of this generation ever properly compensated for these years of free labor. It's time for people to address this issue and be done with it. So this is what my cousin-in-law said. He's just my cousin by my ex-wife. He says, listen to this quote to you. He says, I don't understand, George. You have Malcolm X as your profile.
You always talk about black rights and your life for black race, yet I've known you for over 20 years, and you and the only women I've ever seen you date are be with is white women. Is black women, are black women not good enough for you to date or marry? You are you become a proponent for the black race. I would say that makes you a hypocrite. And I
and
asked
judge,
him,
and that makes him a judge.
Wait. I asked him to come on my show. I emailed him and I put it up there to come on my show. He's probably listening. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. But I wanted him to come on my show, and I wanted to tell him about that. So let me address that question. Let me explain that question to him. I replied back to him, and but you know, read my thread about what I said. Simply this. It was not until the age of 34, I'm 35 now, it was not until the age of 34 that I, as George Beverly Jr., flesh and soul, accepted his blackness. I didn't, from middle school all the way up to my 34 years of life, didn't like being black. At one point, I even hated black people because of the way they acted. Now, let me tell you this. I have never been attracted to black women, and you probably know, hey, you know, remember Alicia? You probably don't know Alicia. She lives in Johnson Hall. She likes skinny black. Anyway, don't matter. All right, so I've only had two black girlfriends, and this is when I was very young. And so, I did not accept my blackness because I, in order for me to be cool, in order for me to be accepted, in order to be somebody in this world, I had to assimilate to be white. I had to think white. Because I'm a dark-skinned nigga, you know how it is in Louisiana. When I grew up, my brother's grandma would not let me in her house because I was too dark and I had nappy hair. So, growing up in an environment of black-on-black hatred, they used to tell me, you'll never go to prom, you'll never be anything because you're too dark.
Cool.
Growing up in this psychologically crazy-ass world that we live in, when you watch pornos, back when we grew up, you didn't get black people fucking on pornos. Not white people. On pornos. Now, I like big women. So, because I it was already a small minority to find fat women in a porn flick, only white women were in porn.
Hey, dog,
if you
can
watch,
I say something, man? Can
yeah,
I,
go
can
ahead.
I say something, man? Can
go
I
ahead,
say
something, man? He's backing up.
Hey, did you ever think that maybe they don't like you as much?
You know, what you mean? The black women?
Like those chicks, yeah, those dark skinned chicks, man. They might not think to you as much, you know, because you know you talk proper, man. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you an interesting story, right? So I go to LaGrange and I'm in homeroom and I asked this girl, I said, hey. And I said her name, and I said, hey, will you go to homecoming with me? And she's looking at me, she's like, no, you date white girls. I said, what?
Yeah. So ain't nothing like
I said, okay.
Hey, George.
So I turned to a friend, and I said, hey, will you go with me to homecoming? And she's like, no. So I'm okay, I'm cool with that, right? I'm cool with that. But
right.
My point is this. I've never had a chance to actually enjoy the richness of a black woman. See, what I didn't understand was the power of the black woman. You can say whatever they want about me for the last 20 20 years, that's what they knew of me then. We change because we go through experiences. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, listeners? I have changed. I have looked at the black woman in from a different spectrum. They are the most powerful, sexiest, strong, encouraging women on the planet. Why? One, because my mother is one of those. Two, because I see my sister struggling with this stuff. So I understand it firsthand.
George, you got to look at it like this first, man. Women are women, man. When you start putting them labels on them, you hit, man. Like a black woman and a white woman is the same woman. That's the same woman from different cultures, man. But it's definitely not black and white. You got to let the people twist you up, man. The people got you twisted up real good. Because you dealt with right down here, like we're talking about, you dealt with what they call a racism Oreo, man. It's a cookie like you smashed in between, and it's a lot of black white people and a lot of white black people out here.
Oh yeah, I was one of them.
You one of them, George? You one of them cookies, man? You one of them cookies, man, where you just got smashed in the middle, where you went one way, they didn't take a liking to you as much, and you wasn't feeling the way they was doing shit. And so that's what it's about, man. It's not about black or white, son. You should know better than anybody. You know this. It's not about that. It's the way you feel for a person. The birds and the bees is more relative to this conversation than black and white, man. You can get rid of it, man. You can throw black and white in the trash. You heard me? If you're listening out there and you're not understanding this racial stuff and you're tired of it, you're tired of black people tripping with you and you're tired of white people, that's not a situation. They are people first. They are women first. They are men first. They are children first. Then you can look at them and say, okay, well, he's from Asia. You know, you can figure that much out. Or he's from Europe. Or he's from Australia. Listen how he talks, mate. You understand what I'm saying? That makes more sense. That makes more sense than you just looking at somebody and say, oh, they black. They probably do this or they probably do that. Or he's white. He probably does it. And then you got shit all wrong. You assume now you done made an ass of yourself. You know what I mean? Because you assume that this person is broke because he walked in a bank with a pair of shorts on and is black but just got off a yacht. You know what I mean? And just wanted to come in and get $2,000 just to hang out for the night. You judge a book by its cover, especially when you're using black and white, you hit. Now, if I meet a person and it looks like they may have some Italian in them, I can assume that they may know about some pasta, and they may can tell me about pasta. Or if they're Asian, they can tell me about noodles or what. Well, you know, shit like that, man. Culture, man. But black and white, that's some American shit, man. It's all American, bro. And that's something we have to deal with right here. Them people in them other countries looking at us like we the most ignorant thing to ever. They glad they got rid of us and sent them people to that foreign land over there. Get them out of this country because that was nothing but ignorance came this way, man. Black and white, I don't know who started that shit, but if you could tell them a pastor told you, throw it in the trash and you're going to live a better life. I've been enjoying my life because people, I let them, you know, they talk like that, but as soon as they get to talking like that, I get away from them because that's ignorance, man. And when you get involved in ignorance, when you get away from ignorance, man, you'll be in some special spots, man. With some real nice people, man. They got some good people out there that have a good way of thinking, you know. But most of these folks hit, though, George. I ain't going to lie. They just like everybody else, black and white, black and white. Like somebody said the other day, man, that dude got shot over there, man. On 3rd Street, he got shot. You know the first thing that people say? Was he black or white? Now was he a man with kids. Not did he have a wife. None of that. None of the real questions, the first thing they say is he's black or white. And that's when you know you're dealing with an ignorant person. Show them, you know, move them around as soon as possible and you'll be okay. Because if not, they're going to end up having the police at your place of business, stuff like that. It's not good to deal with ignorance. And that's just, and you're always going to have it. And they got places for ignorant people. And I can almost embrace it when you go into these certain places that's supposed to be ignorant. You know what I mean? And when you see all the ignorance and you're cool, you're like, okay, well, that's how they do out here. This is how you're supposed to be. Then you meet a person with actual intelligence, you can consider them a diamond in the rough. You ever met a diamond in the rough, George?
I've met a few.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, George. You got to go in the roughs, man. Sometimes you go in the roughs and you walk through the valley of shadow of death and you fear no evil because you're right. You're not scared to die, right, George?
That's right.
So you'll go in some trenches, man, and sometimes you pull out some hell of a people, man. They got some real special people out there in the world, man. You know? And people judging a book by the cover and all that, they come up short, man. You would come up short meeting blessings, man. Some people can be blessings to you, man. And some people are definitely, I don't know how to say it, but they bring some hell to you. See a taste of that hell, man. What you
Hold on. We got another caller. You know what that means,
yeah,
y'all?
Yeah.
Hello, caller. How you doing? Hello, caller. How you doing? Sorry to keep you waiting. Can you please say your name and where you're from?
Hey, I'm Kyle. I'm from Georgia.
All right, Kyle, what would you like to talk about?
All right, so I heard y'all talking about racial profiling. I just wanted to put in my two cents.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so this is a bit of a story from back when I was a young kid in Georgia. I was about 9 or 10 years old. And there were basically, you know, it was like a lot of neighborhoods. There was the good side of town where a lot of the white kids lived, And there was the side of town with like the high crime rate where a lot of the black kids lived. But I went to school, you know, with a lot of the black kids, and I thought they were cool. And, you know, we were hanging out and stuff for a while. But then, but you see, you know, growing up in Georgia, it's a very racist place. And so my mother, you know, she was very...
Really?
Yeah, it's I mean, not all of Georgia, but this certain town where I was living. It's called
not
Parsons.
The metros, not the metro area.
No,
not,
not
so
the metro
right.
At all. But the.
Matthew, would you let him tell his story?
I'm talking with the guy, George. Damn, me and him having a conversation here. I'm bringing him.
We
in.
We only got
right?
A few minutes left on the show. We got 12 minutes left. Let him finish his stuff.
All right, I'll hurry up. All right, so anyway, so. My mother, she was a bit racist. She's not around anymore. She was a bit racist. And she saw that I was hanging out with these kids, and you know what she told me one day? She just said,
one little fighter. My mom got scared of this movie with your auntie and uncle in Delaware. A big friend later was her. She packed my suitcase and sent me on the way. She gave me a kiss and she gave me my ticket.
Oh,
no.
Like me, John. They don't talk like us. You feel me?
Yeah.
But they don't make them just done messed your whole conversation up, man. When as soon as dude got on here, bro, and he said black and white, I knew he was hit, son. I knew he was hit off the dump. Soon as he was like, the white kids were on his side, the black kids were on his side, and then he moving with his mommy, and mommy in L.A.
Ah! So you're talking about the ghetto preacher, right?
Oh, man, check him out, man. He'd have been cut that dude. He'd have been cut him, George. He'd cut him. And then he cut
I'm
him
looking
off
at one
train.
Right now.
Oh, man, this guy's outrageous, man. I hope, man, this guy's outrageous, man. He real, man, but he real outrageous, though. He real, but he real outrageous. But, he got him a shout-out from Georgia, man. I liked it, that, man. I felt that. That was live. because a lot of people can relate to that situation, man. You make the wrong choices, you're in a situation where if you just keep going straight or maybe veer right a little bit, you'll do good. But the devil has so many tricks, and we can get back to that in the last few minutes, that the devil has so many tricks, he can pull you left, man. And when he pulls you left, you go and live with your mommy and auntie in Bel Air. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Go ahead, Patrick. Yeah. Hit him with that knowledge, baby.
Don't fool with that devil, man. You got to recognize that devil. He have all kind of games he play. He got all kind of little candies and foolishness he put around you. Man, especially in the poor communities. He play on poor people. He play on poor people so good, rich people want to be like the poor people. Now, imagine that. If that ain't ignorant, I ain't never heard of no ignorance like that. The rich people want to be like the poor people.
Right. They say more money, more problems.
That don't even make sense in the jungle, son. That don't even make sense in the jungle, man. If you own a tree in the jungle, why would I want to be like the person that don't even own a piece of grass? I got a whole tree that got fruit on it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to be like you, and you ain't even got a piece of grass. That's the jungle talk, George. And even in the jungle, the devil can trick you into doing some stupid stuff and give your own tree away.
Right.
Yeah, and do something real stupid, man. The devil is real. So to all you listeners out there, tell them, watch him close. He out here. Watch him close, man. Steer clear of that devil, and you'll be okay. You ain't got to worry
okay,
about
I got one.
Racism and shit when you
I got one question. I don't think so. No, I don't have
I'm going to tell my people to start calling, man. We need some more callers, man. But it's Friday night.
I put it out there. It's kind of late for some people, too. It's Friday night. So, you know, they out there partying.
You got people listening in Vegas and New Orleans and all that, man. They people up, man. They just partying, George. They not just sitting in the car like me at the gas station waiting to get some gas when we finish having our conversation, you know. They can't do it like that. They don't do it like that. We some different type of guys, George.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's the truth. Yeah, I got people listening all over the place, man. I got some.
Oh yeah, man. I like when you get them callers in, man. It's nice to talk to people from all over, man.
Yeah.
And all over America, man. All over America is either you black or white. That's pretty much you black or white, man. That is the most ignorant shit I ever heard in my life, man. And I mean, I almost fell for that shit. Man, when I was about 12, 13, I already knew that shit was the most ignorant. But I'm like Obama. They call my mama white. They call my daddy black. He's from Mississippi, like Portuguese type shit, son. Phil, you know, she's off some Dutch Indies type shit. You know what I'm saying? When they look into their culture, their actual culture, they break away from that black and white. You actually look into your culture, you gonna find it, man. It's there. It's no lie. It don't lie. The books don't lie. You look yourself up a little bit, yeah, George.
Say again.
Did you look yourself up in it, like your mother's people, your father's people, like your mother's father, your mother's father's father's father, your father's father's father? You ever look that up, man? See what you got going on with yourself?
No, unfortunately, my mother does not like talking about her past, so I have no idea who my family are and where they came from. I know that my mother is from Rain, but that's about it. But I'm going to be going, like I said, I'm going to be taking a trip down to back to Lake Charles, but I'm going to go to Lafayette to do some research. I'm going to go to the city hall in Lafayette and start looking up some records on my family. So,
look up that last name, man. That's always go with that last name, man.
Yeah, that's
that
what
last
I'm going
to do. Then when you get to that number, you go, you got this special place. But even before you even get there, man, you can tell your heritage, man. You can have anything from Haitian to Cuban to straight African descent. Because see, most of the Africans that were slaves, George, they were brought down to the islands, man, to be, you know, to see who was the best. You know, it was the best of the best that came to America, man. There's no reason.
Oh yeah.
There's no one reason why America is the top physical specimen of the world. You got some of the best that came here, man. And worked
oh, yeah.
down that river, man. Yeah.
That's
oh,
how
yeah.
they came.
Oh yeah.
Well, Apache,
oh, yeah,
I would like to thank you for coming in and making this show a hit. Like always, you are always welcome on this show. And I'm telling you, the people out there love you, man. They love you. They love hearing your views.
Well,
they love
your. You ought to tell them to call me. I like talking to people. Tell them to call me sometimes, man.
Okay,
don't
I will.
Call me while I'm working. Don't call me while I'm working. Call me at night like this. Tell them to call me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. But thank you. I appreciate it. You have a good weekend. God bless you. I'll get in touch with you.
Same to you, son. Holler back.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is another edition of Sign Off Forums, another phenomenal night with callers and interviews and all this stuff. If you want to continue to do this, please email me at soundoff97413, and you can also gmail.com, and you can also get me on my Facebook, and I will be signing off. Next time I see here, you should be signing off.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is the song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No matter. Civil and plain, civil and plain, civil and plain.